Hopefully. I say it every time. Hopefully it works.
Yeah.
The clap countdown with Skype sometimes can fuck me over.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with the show, Nick. I don't know how to introduce it. We're just gonna go.
That's fine.
Welcome back to the show, Nick. It's been quite a while since you've been on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
That's it.
Here I am.
How's everything been? I know we talked yesterday a little bit and caught up, but we saved a lot of it for what we're going to talk about today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's been good for the most part. I think like everybody else, you know, just trying to stay busy and, you know, there's just been a lot of changes. So with that, I've just been trying to change with everything and, you know, just keep doing what I'm doing, keep pushing forward, I guess. But otherwise, I mean, everything's doing good. Everything's well, you know, I mean, we're here. I'm with the family right now, you know, and we're just, yeah, we're good. I don't know. We're good.
Yeah, I don't think I've asked you or, like, in a while how, like, everything's been out there with, like, cases and everything. Because I know out in California, they reclosed. Like, that was the weird thing. My job was getting ready to, like, open back up. They were, like, calling everybody, like, asking if they're okay to come back to work or if they even feel comfortable coming back to work. And they were pretty much like getting us ready to like train. Like they were telling us what the new protocols were going to be and like going to schedule us for training. And then California decided to close everything down again. So we were open for probably maybe like 2 weeks. Like things were like opening back up, like gyms and barbershops and like bars and restaurants. But then they decided to close it all down again.
Okay.
So how's everything in like Midwest Illinois region?
In Illinois right now, I mean, we're doing better than that. And like, you know, we've opened up bars, we've opened up gyms, restaurants. I think even a lot of parks for the most part are open. I've actually gone to the Indiana Dunes, twice since they've reopened. And I mean, things are doing good in that sense. Like it's good to see things opening up again. And for the most part, I mean, I haven't seen any problems with people, you know, not following whatever the protocols are. People seem to be doing okay with that. I don't think anyone's really has like a big problem with it out here. But yeah, it's everything's at like 50% for the most part, like restaurants, you know, bars, like I said, even gyms, like the gym I go to. It's so weird though, because like the gym that I go to, I don't know if it's a state thing or if it's just what they're doing, but like their protocol is when you go to the gym, there's somebody inside the building before you walk upstairs or take the elevator to where the gym is, the actual gym. Mm-hmm. And the only thing they do, like they don't take your temperature or anything. They just want to make sure you're wearing a mask. But then the only thing they'll ask is like, do you have any COVID symptoms? And you just respond with no. And they're like, okay, have a good workout. And it's just funny because I'm like, okay, who's the one guy says yes? And they're like, oh, damn, I should go home. You know?
The one guy that has symptoms goes to the gym just to be told to, like, get turned away.
Yeah, it's just, it's strange. Like that's the thing, like, that's so annoying to me. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, how serious is this if that's your protocol? Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
That's the protocol? Like, you just have to take someone's word for, like, I mean, I get you're doing something. It's better that, I guess it's better than nothing, but it's just very strange, you know. It's a strange time. I was at a restaurant the other day, and they did take temperatures there. But like the girl held the gun up. I was with another friend, and the host held the gun, the temperature gun to my head, and she took the temperature, but she didn't even look at the number. So like, and I know she didn't look at the number because when she took my temperature, she looked at my friend before it even beeped, and then started taking her temperature, and I was like, okay. Like, it's just, like, what's happening here?
That sounds like shit out here, because, like, here it's weird, because you see people, there are, it's, like, three different people. There's people who wear masks, who are, like, following it. Mm-hmm. There's people who are, like doing it half-ass, where they'll have the mask, but it's, like, maybe not covering their nose, or, like, I've even seen it where they're just wearing it on their chin, but it's, like, they're just doing it because they're, like, oh, I have to, but, like, they're not doing it.
Right.
And then there's the people that just completely disregard it and are, like, walking around no mask, which is weird. I've been to a couple restaurants out here when it, like things were like opening back up. Yeah, they didn't take our temp, but you like have to wear a mask when you walk in and walk around the restaurant. But when you're seated and eating, you can take it off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how it is here too.
The only thing I've ever been temperature checked for was when I took my trip to Vegas like a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before you checked into the resort, like at the check-in line, they take your temp. And I don't know if they check the number. I think it just shoots out green if you're good, like if you're below the number, or okay. It shoots out red if like you're over. So if it shoots green, you're fine. But that girl seems like she was just in the motion. Like,
right.
She's probably like just sick of it. Mm-hmm. But when I went to Vegas, like they took your temp, made sure you were good. And then all around the resort, there was like hand sanitizing stations. Like they were handing out free masks for you.
Okay. That's a good thing.
But and then in the casinos, they had like glass barricades between like blackjack tables and all the poker tables.
Okay.
And then
okay.
like not everything was open. They spaced it out. Like,
okay.
Sort of good, somewhat not good. And the first night we were there, it was like weird. It seemed like apocalyptic and like empty and like right. way dead than it should be. We even drove the strip and there was like nobody on it.
Yeah, that had to be strange.
But then as the weekend got like into the weekend, it got busier and they almost tried to fuck us over with like our hotel price. They were like, oh, because it got busier, you have to pay an extra $150 for your room. And we're like, no, we paid it when we checked in. This is what we're paying. You're not going to overcharge us.
Yeah, if you already paid. What?
They sent one of those emails. And I think it's a scam. I think they do it because they know a lot of people are going to be drunk and, like, fucked up. That's, like, the early checkout email. So if you do that, it's like, oh, well, you're going to have to pay an additional $150 because, like, it got busier. And it's probably a way for people who are, like, freaking out or, like, running late for their checkout. They're just going
to
do it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's dumb. But, well, I mean, at least you guys didn't have to, but.
We didn't. We were like, we're not paying that.
No.
But Vegas was weird. It was like a lot of people not wearing masks, just walking around on the strip.
Yeah,
but it's something else.
It's a weird time, and I don't know. Like it's weird, and every state's protocol is like they're slightly different. You have states like California that's just like completely shut down, super strict, and then you have a lot of like the just more easygoing states.
Thing about California is it's like LA County strict, but if you go like, cause like when we were driving to Vegas, we went to a place called Victorville to like stop and get food and we had to use the restroom. So we stopped at like a Target and this is in California. It's about like 2 hours northeast. So like on your way to Vegas, LA County, all the businesses, signs are up that say you're required to wear a mask inside. Like if you're in the store, it's mandated. You have to have a mask. We went to Victorville. They had signs that said masks are recommended, but you don't have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
And if like we wore the masks because we're smart, we felt like we were getting weird looks.
Okay.
Like people were judging us for wearing masks versus like the other way around. It was just super strange.
Yeah. I was in Michigan camping a couple weeks ago, and it was like a similar situation. We stopped, I think it was on our way home from camping. We stopped at a diner that was open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a similar situation. Most people had their masks there, but it wasn't like you could tell it wasn't super required. Like, I don't know how to explain it. All the workers wore their masks, like all the waiters, hosts, even the cooks, I'm sure in the back, they all wore it. But like people walking around, some people didn't wear them, some people did. I was at a convenience store too at one point during the trip. I think it was driving there, and nobody, not even the workers, had masks on. And I don't remember seeing signs. Maybe they did, I just don't remember it. But yeah, it's just different. It's just weird. It's a very strange thing. I mean, I don't know, man, because I question the severity of everything just because it's like I've been in environments where it's like you got to be strict, where it even when you're just scratching your nose, you know what I mean? And then I'm in the opposite situations. And, I don't know. It's just weird. I just hope this stuff ends soon because it's getting old. I'm sick and tired of the this like misinformation shit too.
Right,
it's just really annoying. But my biggest fear with all of it is something weird happens with the statistics And then the whole country goes into that first like month of quarantine like we had in March.
Like
and
it happens lockdown, like
in,
yeah.
Yeah, and then it happens like in maybe even September or October or whatever, maybe even middle of winter. I don't know. I hope it doesn't, but I do fear that, and that's where I'm like, I really hope things just start to get better. I don't know.
That's what I'm saying, because the whole, like, part of it's, like, COVID, but, like, I'll make an announcement on this show, like, at the end of this month. This episode that we're doing is probably going to be my last episode in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So, at the end of this month, my girlfriend and I are actually going to be moving back to the Midwest. We're like, part of it's COVID, but the whole thing is like a lot of it's COVID actually too. Like with California being locked down again, we both just feel like we're wasting our money on an apartment, especially like you and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, like being out here with most of the studios and like productions being shut down and they're not really hiring anybody. They're more laying people off and keeping like who they think they need.
Right.
That it's just like out here is just like throwing money away. And even we were looking at some apartments and they were like, oh, unemployment's fine, like we'll take it like for now. And then they turn around and they're like, oh, actually no, you can't have unemployment, so we're gonna deny you. So it's like we kind of feel like if that's at every apartment complex and if it's not gonna get better anytime soon, then why are we gonna just stay out here and just like be doing nothing and wasting money?
Yeah, I agree. And again, like we were talking about yesterday, it was the same with me. I mean, I almost had an opportunity to go out there right now. I mean, if it worked out, I would have been in LA like today.
It would have been awesome if you were out here. Yeah.
Yeah. Similar situation. I thought about it and I'm like, if nothing's open, what's the point? There's no opportunities there that are available to me right now. And it's this, I'd be in the situation that you just happen to be in where it's like, I'm just wasting my money at this point.
It's the same thing. Like if you were going to move out here last year when like we were talking initially, but you mm-hmm. like, you didn't have, I don't think you had enough money saved up or like it would have been wiped completely like early. Yeah. You would have just thrown all that money away to come out here just mm-hmm. to be doing nothing. And it's like, good thing you didn't come out, but it's also like, yeah, it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, yeah, it's a good thing it didn't happen. The unfortunate part in total is that COVID happened. So,
right,
you know. But yeah, again, weird times, and it's you know what's weird too is like right now as we're talking about it, like it's not strange anymore. That's mm-hmm. the part that's actually weird. It's like this whole virus thing has changed so much so fast. That mm-hmm. it's not even weird that this is a part of our lives right now. Like going to the store even just to bring your mask is not a weird thing anymore.
Right.
So like, and that almost like when I take a step back and think about it, it bothers me. I'm like, this is not how we should be doing. Like, I want this to get better because like mm-hmm. we need to go back. Like, I'm not saying we got to do what we need to do, but then mm-hmm. we got to go back. Like, you know what I mean?
That's what my girlfriend and I were talking about. We were like, it's going to be weird. Like we're excited and we're happy to be going to Indiana where we're going to be moving to for the time being, but we're also like Indiana's doing better with cases, more things are open. Mm-hmm. It's going to be weird like for us since like everything out here is so locked down. It's going to be weird for us to be like, oh well, maybe we can go to the gym and try it out. Like
exactly.
We haven't done that in months. Like we yeah. haven't worked out at a gym for maybe since February, March. Jeez. I think yeah. I have no idea. Yeah. But it's going to be very weird like adjusting to that. But, like, again, with, like, the whole money thing, we were looking at apartments. We can get 2 times the size of the apartment I'm in now for $500 less.
Yeah.
And get way more stuff out of it.
Yeah, man. I know. It's great. I've been looking at apartments when I was looking for L.A. I've been looking closer to the city here in Chicago. I've been looking around. Yeah. That's a big thing, too. It's like, you know, how do you... You got to think about the finances with everything too. And so, you know, I don't know. One thing that you talked about too was like, you know, maybe in the future starting your own company and mm-hmm. having it being based in the Midwest, because I mean, you know, there is Chicago and Chicago is a pretty rising film area or mm-hmm. at least even like TV area, just production area. Mm-hmm. But I also still feel like it's very exclusive at the same time. Like it's still hard. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it should be easier, but it is hard. So it would be kind of cool if you have something that's more based in the Midwest area that's more affordable for people that still want to do what we want to do. And, like, you don't have to
go to New York or you don't have to go Chicago to or LA.
You know, and we, you know, you can work and I don't know. But yeah,
that's what I'm hoping. Like going back to Indiana is like, I'll be able to be closer to you. Like it's only like a 2.5-3 hour drive. Mm-hmm. Like we'll be able to like work on more stuff like together and like maybe even start filming some stuff. Cause we have cameras and we can just go out and do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cause I would like to start my company, but you need like, you need your own, like, your own work, I guess, to like back you up.
You kind of do. I mean, you can definitely start it with like an LLC and then, which isn't that hard to get started, but it is a good idea to just start working on some stuff on your own, like have that work that you own and have that as your backup or not your backup, but like, yeah, you're right. Like to back you up and to show that you're actually doing stuff. It's, I don't really know if it's, I mean, maybe it's possible. I don't know for sure if you can just like start a company with nothing under your belt yet.
You would have to like totally like bullshit your way through that. Like
sometimes,
like if they ask you questions and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes like I was trying to do, my website where I have all my photography and all of the work that I've done as like more so an independent contract, worker or an artist, I have a website that has all that stuff and it is under a name that's like my company name, you know? And so, you know, it's you got to start with just start doing stuff. And then if you really are serious about making it a company, which once you have the work, it's actually not that hard. It's just a matter of having the capital, you know, having the money to to apply, not apply, but like to do all the paperwork that you need to do and to make sure you have everything that you need. But it's doable, man. I mean, you can start small. You can start a production company, a one-man production company, really, you know, and you can start adding people on as you go and then doing different kind of work, you know?
Yeah, that's the whole goal. Like, start a production company, get people on, like, and it's not even, like, getting people on. It's, like, the people I want to work with is, like, other filmmakers, not just, like, like, someone that, like, you need people that know the business, too, but it's, like, I want to bring, like, like-minded people together.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's like with any company, but.
No, I think I feel the same way. Like, you know, if I were to do the same with myself, or even to be a part of somebody's company who I agree with everything that they want to do, and or not so much agree, but you know, like have the same work ethic and want to be around that environment. That's kind of my thought process with that as well. I kind of look at like Oat Studios as like an example of that. They have like a common theme with their work and. A lot of the guys and a lot of the filmmakers that work for them, they're all pretty much in-house. Like, they just all work together always. And they come out with some pretty cool stuff, and they don't have anybody to tell them no, which is fantastic. And then every once in a while, you have Neil Blomkamp, who directs, like, some pretty big movies. And it's like, why not? You know? So it's
Isn't he working on a new movie?
Currently, I'm not sure. I feel like he is. But then again, I feel like he's always working on something, and then it just gets canceled. So I don't
does stuff, and then...
Like, there was talks about a Halo movie years ago. There was talks about another Alien film. There was talks about all this stuff that he was
going to do. I think RoboCop was in there.
Who?
I think he was like in talks to do a RoboCop movie.
Yeah, I think he was, yeah.
I feel like they just keep giving him stuff, and he's like, yeah, I'm for it. And then they're like, oh, just kidding. Like,
yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. And then he ends up like, doing like 10-minute short films based on video games. So it's like, you know.
That's what I've been seeing. There's this director, Jonathan Glazer, who did the movie Under the Skin. Like, years ago. And all he's been doing this year has been releasing short films. I think on, like, Vimeo or something.
You know what I noticed? It's funny you say that because I have been noticing a lot where, you know... Okay, so there's so many filmmakers out there. And but the ones that we see all the time are, like, the big, big ones. You know what I mean? The ones that come out with movies every 2 to 3 years... Or maybe even every 10 years if they're like, you know, a Tarantino type of filmmaker or whatever. But there's a lot of like just regular working class directors and writers and like they do shorts or they just do commercials. And that's something I've been really thinking about is like how can I work and make money, whether it's in the industry or outside of the industry, but then also be able to do the art that I want to do, like short films, or even work for like people that want to do commercials, and still be a part of the world so that I'm practicing my skills and still doing filmmaking, still, doing something behind a camera, and then eventually maybe make my way to do a couple of features, you know.
Yeah, I think that's future. How there was a teacher at Columbia, I think he said he did that. He was my like assistant director's teacher.
Okay.
But he was saying like he directed or worked on commercials, and that's how he like paid for like everything, like his kids' college. Like he's like all that money went to like things I needed, but I was still like able to work on things I wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like you got to do those things, I guess, to like make the money, but then still be able to do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I do like a studio too, like this podcast could be part of the studio. Like
absolutely.
Become the studio's podcast and like start getting revenue in for this as well.
Absolutely. And that's the thing too, like with the internet and podcasts and YouTube and just all these social media, like content creating platforms, like you could be one of the top companies, not saying that that's necessarily your goal to be one of the top, but you can be a very successful company that's like taken very seriously, like A24, for example. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're super popular right now. I feel like they're only gaining more popularity.
Every year they like get bigger.
Yeah, yeah, and they get better and better casts and filmmakers and all kinds of stuff. But they still do like content. They still have a podcast. Their Instagram page is like always popping. You know what I mean? They've always got something going on.
They have a store that never restocks.
Right, yeah, I know. Well, I feel like that's like their thing. It's like their...
That makes me mad so much too. Like, I know. At least like I got the poster behind me, Last Black Man. I got that because I think they were like, we only have 500.
Yeah.
And I got one and it like sold out. It was there for a while though, but...
That could be part of their thing. It's like we only make a limited amount and then
once it's
gone,
it's gone. I mean, that's what they did with the bear in the cage from Midsummer.
That shit
sold out quick. Like the website crashed.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It did. And that's the thing. Like when they make super popular films like Midsummer or Uncut Gems, like anything that gets attached to that, like merch or anything, it's going to sell real quick. It's a good point you make. It's like, you know, maybe just like start a company and then you can kind of do other things with it. And yeah, it's just other forms of revenue. And then that's how you make the stuff that you want to make, you know. And it's hard work though. Like it's so funny because I think about when we were in Columbia, I thought about all kinds of things. Like, do I want to go straight to Hollywood and try to make it as a big time director? Do I want to just stay more as like, independent, like what do I want to do? Those thoughts just kind of go in your head. It's like, because I'm trying to think like what route do I take, and then now it's like, well, I can do my own thing and have all these other, you know, avenues to make money and to do that, but it's so much harder than I thought. Like you just think like, yeah, I'll just do that, like I want to be a big time director, I'll just go to Hollywood. Yeah, it's not that fucking easy. Like I know it sounds so stupid to say that, but like when you're in school, like they don't tell you the work involved. They just tell you how to hold a camera. They tell you how to set the lights up, but they don't tell you like the nitty gritty, the stuff that's so important, the stuff that like really can make or break you until you kind of get thrown in there. And it's like, oh damn, now you got to figure it out yourself. So,
and then they don't tell it to you until you like, I think you said at one point, like you emailed a professor and then they told you it was a waste of time at film school and like, all this stuff, like do it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. I actually was face to face. I was talking to an editing teacher and I'm like, it was funny because I was talking to my editing teacher about this, but I go like, how do I just be a director? Because he asked me, he's like, what do you want to do? And I told him and he's like, well, it's not really like you can just apply for a job. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, what is happening? You know, it was a strange experience.
I don't know. It's so weird. Like, even like, one, it's not that easy to become a director out in Hollywood, but like, they also don't tell you, like, there's this mentality out here that I'm not a fan of at all. And I know a lot of people can do it, like, good for them or whatever. But I just do not like that motto of come out to L.A. and kiss ass and, like, work your way up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I do not like that motto at all. That's why there's a lot of people out here I do not like. Or, like, even, like, from what I've seen, it's like I don't like how this, like, environment is.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because like the person you're kissing ass to, like in a second will turn around and stab you in the back.
Right, right.
And it's like, I don't like that mentality. That's like if I want to do my production company, like they're always like, you have to have a thick skin. It's like, yeah, I got a thick skin. I'm also not an asshole. Right. I am an asshole, but I can't.
Right, right.
Like, not that kind of asshole.
Right, right. I agree. I don't think, yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think you need to be that to be successful. Mm-hmm. And it sucks that, like, in L.A., because I hear that a lot, too. You're not the only person that's told me that. Mm-hmm. I've heard it from other kids that we went to school with. I've also heard it from professors, you know, mm-hmm. like, that we had at Columbia. But, yeah, it just sucks to hear that. It definitely – that's another thing, too. Like, when I think about that element of going to L.A., it's like, do I really want to go to L.A.? Like, I want to go for the experience. Like, I would love to have been gone – I would love to have been there for, like, the amount of time, let's say, that you were there. Just to have been there – because, like, you have at least – even if you've got nothing out of L.A., you at least went there. You at least got to see it. So that experience does come with you no matter where you go. It's not that
I
would
have, like – I may not have necessarily got, like, the experience I wanted from right. L.A., but right. I got the experience and, like, the exposure. Like, I've seen things. I've been around things. I've met people. And I'm not saying, like, everybody out here has that, like, fake persona about them. I've met some great sure. people out here who have sure. great, like, work ethics and everything. But it's just like, for example, like what's going on in the film industry right now, Ellen DeGeneres' career is like going down the toilet.
Right, right. But, I was going to talk about that too.
But that shit I've heard for years. I've heard that way before I wanted to go to film school, way before mm-hmm. like I moved out here. Everyone was always just like, if you move to LA, never work for Ellen.
Interesting.
And like, I've heard that shit so much. And the thing that surprised me is like everybody figuring it out now.
You know what it is? It's just, it's not... I feel like a case like that is not so much that people are figuring it out now. It's that it's getting big to the point where the media can't ignore it. Because exactly. whatever the media doesn't talk about, then the rest of the world thinks that it's secret. And they think that if they know it, it's like nobody else knows it. When mm-hmm. in reality, like you said, you've been hearing that for years. Many people have probably heard of that and told other people. But because it doesn't get circulated in mainstream media, you know, because think about it. Whenever something comes up, whether it's a fact or an opinion or a speculation or a conspiracy, if it doesn't get brought up by the mainstream media, no one really takes it serious right away until it gets brought up by a mainstream media source or whatever.
I think it also goes back to the mentality of LA where you have someone like an Ellen who is that persona and that like powerful mm-hmm. that like in a second she'll destroy anybody's career, even yeah. if it's a lonely like intern.
For sure. For like, sure.
I think I was even reading like a whole subreddit page of former Ellen employees telling their stories.
Wow.
And I think people were like, I wasn't even an intern on the Ellen show, but I was on the Warner Brothers lot. And like, I saw Ellen walk out with like a bunch of like her like assistants or whatever. Mm-hmm. And like, I think an intern or a PA brought her a drink and without like even looking at the intern, she was like, this is wrong. Gave it back and kept walking. And then the person being like, going in for the interview, like, met, like made, like, eye contact with Ellen and was just, like, being polite and, like, just, like, wave, like, a normal person or, like, I don't even think they waved. I think they just, like, smiled, like, to acknowledge him. And yeah. Ellen looked at them with disgust and, like, walked away.
Oh, my God.
These are just stories, so.
Right, right.
Ellen,
right.
don't destroy my career.
Exactly. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's very strange. And that's another thing to add on to what we're talking about because it's, like, In a weird sense, Hollywood is like falling apart with mm-hmm. all this stuff that's coming out. I mean, look at like Tom Hanks, dude. That's insane. Like, just you know what I mean.
What happened with Tom Hanks?
You haven't heard really.
With I know the last like, thing I've kept
with the child stuff.
Spill this.
Really,
spill this.
Really.
The last
it's,
thing I...
it, okay, so it's not in mainstream media necessarily. Like, you can't go, like, Fox or CNN or anywhere else. Like, I don't think. But if you look around, like, the internet, again, this is the internet, so I'm not saying it's true. But the fact mm-hmm. that it's being talked about is very interesting. It's just that he was a part of,
trafficking?
I'm sorry?
The sex trafficking? Or
yeah, like, yeah, with young kids. Like, he was on Epstein's Island, too, like, one of the people. And
oh,
like
he was one of the people?
And do you remember early March when COVID just started? He was, like, the first celebrity that came out and said he had it, and he was going to mm-hmm. be self-quarantining in Australia? Mm-hmm. So, apparently, again, this is what I heard. I'm not saying it's true. I really don't know. apparently that was a cover story because when he was in Australia, he actually they started an investigation on him with the whole child trafficking thing, mm-hmm. and that the reason he told the public he had COVID was because he was under house arrest. So that was the cover story why he wasn't going to be seen in public for a while. So that was another thing. So it's been very, very interesting, like, what's happening. And, it's Tom Hanks. It's like, Jesus Christ, Forrest Gump, are you kidding me?
Hollywood's nice guy.
I know, right? But so was Ellen. You know what I mean? Like, Ellen's the nice person.
But
you know?
Everyone, I feel like everyone, like, again, like, I mean, it's a persona they built. But, like, Ellen's always seemed, even, to, like, before, again, like, before I got into film, Ellen's always seemed like this is a character. Like,
I agree. I think Ellen is definitely that. Well, because her whole motto, her whole business was about being kind, being nice. Like, it just mm-hmm. seemed not that that's not what you would want somebody to be, but it just when someone is so much something, it's like it becomes a character. It becomes if you really look into it, it's like, is this real? Like, we're all not mm-hmm. perfect, and she seems like.
She seems happy all the time. And
exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I feel like there was somebody that, like, is happy all the time, but, like, because it also could be a character. Like, no one's that happy 24-7.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, but it's interesting, though, you know?
That's interesting about Tom Hanks, because I was even thinking about that when, what was it? Well, who was Epstein's, partner or like the one that ran it all, Maxwell?
The female, Giselle or something? Yeah. Or I forget her name, but yeah.
That was the thing, even watching the Epstein doc, I was like, how'd he die so easily? Like, he had to have been killed, but, like, he was pretty stupid if, like, the thing I think why she hasn't been killed yet is because she probably is like, if I die, like, all this is going to go out. Like, mm-hmm. someone's going to find out and press a button and everything's going to get exposed.
Could be.
Because I feel like that's why a lot of people are going to get exposed with her.
A lot.
Because she has a lot of dirt.
Yeah, well, that's why he was killed, I think, you know, so.
That's the thing, but I'm like, Epstein, you're stupid if you didn't have anything to back you up if you died, like, because if he went to jail and knew, like, people, like, he had all that dirt on people, like, he had to have known people were out to get him.
Yeah, I agree. Well, that's what's so weird, too, is, like, in the documentary, they talked about, like, everything went wrong that night. The cameras didn't work. The guards were sleeping. Okay, really? That night? Like, come on.
It's like a Hitman game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, so it's strange. But, yeah, I mean, you know, with all that together, it's like Hollywood is really, like, I feel like they're freaking out. And they're not only – forget the fact that you have all these bad people in that industry that are going to come down, but, like – as a business, aside from all the bad things, as a business, they're also not – I feel like they're not doing too well because you do have really great films and, I guess, content being made from independent people, like smaller companies, people like you and me that are just mm-hmm. making our own stuff. Like, you don't have to work for the big companies anymore. So their power that they once had that they still are trying to hold on to, it is going to fade away. COVID aside, it is going to fade away because – technology's changing and, you know, people are just, they're looking into other ways of just getting their content, their media, whatever you want to call it, I guess.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to bring up. Like, another topic to talk about today is, like, we were talking because, like, you and me are, I know we talked yesterday and we said how both of us are pretty far behind on, like, watching movies.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We both agreed that, like, because the movie theaters are closed, like, that would. A lot of the movies I saw last year, I may have not necessarily wanted to see, but because I had the stubs, I had the access to. So it's mm-hmm. like I can go watch them essentially for free. But that like forced me to go watch a movie and be in a theater where like I don't have to be on my phone and like it forces me to pay attention. Where at home, it's kind of like hard.
It's like working from home. You get distracted as opposed to like being in the office. And yeah.
Like if I had like. In school, when I was doing homework, I always had the TV on, and I would always just look up at the TV and be like check for a second, and then I would just end up watching it for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And being like, oh shit, I got to do my calculus.
Right.
But like, yeah, like at home, it's different. Like I get so distracted, even watching movies I haven't seen, where I'll be like on my phone for a while, and then I'll look up. I can kind of piece together what happened, but like, it's harder. That's why. I was telling you, like, a good topic I wanted to talk about was, like, video games, where it's, like, mm-hmm. that's essentially the new form. And it has been for a while, like, the new form of cinema, depending on, like, the games you get. Like, in particular, I just finished The Last of Us Part 2.
Oh, you did? I wanted to play that. Was it good?
It, it's the best film of 2020. I will say that. But it's also a great game. Like,
all right.
It takes the first game, improves a lot of the mechanics from that, but it also is like, it's an incredible feat for like graphics and storytelling and acting.
Yeah.
That like, I feel like video games also don't get enough attention, because like a lot of the mainstream focuses more on like Marvel movies, Disney, and like all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But they really don't pay attention to like video games.
Yeah.
Especially like the older generation, like, because. I don't know. I wanted to also talk to you more about video games, because I know you play them, and like when you visited me, we were playing Call of Duty,
mm-hmm.
and that fucking shit with the, what was the shipment level?
Yeah,
and it was like all the bots, hardest difficulty.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were playing like a multiplayer with bots, yeah.
And it was like 32 bots in the smallest map.
Yeah.
And then you have to like, it's like every time you get a kill, you get a new weapon.
Mm-hmm. But
like
yeah, it was gun game. It was gun game.
Every time you respawn, you die because like there's so many people.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love video games. And I agree with everything you said. I think they are, not only are they like a new form of cinema, but they are such a rising form, and they have been for a while. I think with graphics getting so much better, that people are realizing it more and more. But yeah, it also does depend on the game. Like if you play like, you know, Fortnite, I wouldn't really call that cinematic. But if you're playing like The Last of Us with an actual storyline,
or even a Spider-Man that you've played,
yeah, exactly. I was going to mention I have God of War. That's mm-hmm. another example of it too. So I agree, they're very cinematic. But what's great about games is like the interactive level does also become part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny. I was actually just reading today that I think it was Netflix that wants to start a Splinter Cell series. But then on comicbook.com, they posted an article. I didn't read the article, but the headline said Splinter Cell fans would rather have a new game than a Netflix series.
Than a Netflix. It's true, because like video games, they can be great films like for the video game, and it's also like you playing it adds to the experience versus like just watching like a great mm-hmm. movie, like you weren't really a part of it.
Yeah.
That's why like video games don't translate to movies, because the whole point of video games is for you to experience it and you to play it versus mm-hmm. like you just watching a story.
Yep. I agree with that. That was I had an episode on my podcast where I talked about that too, and like that's the whole thing. Video games are just a different medium, and it is hard to translate them into films. Films are like you just sit back and you enjoy the ride. It's like a roller coaster. But I think video games are just, they're more like, I don't know, they're just, yeah, it's just a different, I wouldn't even know how to compare them. They're just a different kind of experience. You are a part of the story. And especially when they have games where it's like you can kind of pick different paths, that adds the experience.
That's what I was about to say. Like, I feel like everyone was like freaking out about Black Mirror Bandersnatch, like mm-hmm. the whole interactive movie. But when that came out, I was like, they're just doing what video games have been doing for years. Like, the whole, they're not around anymore because I think they went bankrupt, was Telltales.
Okay. Did they really go bankrupt?
So what happened was, because they had all these intellectual properties like Walking Dead and Batman and Game of Thrones, and they had, like, all these properties that they, like, couldn't keep funding them, and they were just pumping out games one after another. That they just essentially, and like overworking their employees, they just closed up, went bankrupt.
Wow.
But a lot of their employees got hired on by other studios, and even there was a lot of people saying like, hire Telltale employees, because like they shouldn't have lost their jobs. And a lot of companies are actually finishing what Telltale games were gonna be.
That's
still keeping
cool.
It in that motto of like, you pick the story of how the game plays out. It's essentially just like, they're not the most like fun games, but they're like very good stories, and like you pick how everything happens. But they've been doing that for years, and I think that's also helped with a lot of other video games like Red Dead 2, or there's another game I was just playing where it's like they maybe have different endings based on how you play it.
Okay.
But like they like pretty much picked out the story like on choices you made. Like every little choice you made had an effect in mm-hmm. the story.
Yeah. Yeah, those games are fun, and they're definitely a different kind of experience than just like a regular linear timeline game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
even God of War, like that's a game where cinematically, it improves on video games because they tried the whole, like, the whole game's one cut. Like, if you don't die, like, a lot of people will die in the game, but
right.
if you don't die, essentially the whole game is, like, no cuts at all.
Okay.
Like, from cutscenes into the action.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was the whole point. That was, like, a big marketing strategy for them was, like, the whole game is a one take.
I never realized that, but yeah, you're right. I never realized that at all. That's interesting.
He was like, it's supposed to be one take, but like if you die because it's a game, like you might die. Like it should just flow all as one piece.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I never realized that. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a fun game. That's the thing too. Like that game's cool because it melds the two different mythologies, Greek and Norse mythology. And I feel like it works so well for a game. Trying to think about making it a movie, like, would people like it? Would they take it serious? I don't know.
I don't know. Because the first three God of Wars is just Kratos just angry and just killing everything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, like, no, like, story. There is a story, but the whole point of the game is just to beat the shit out of everything and kill the gods in the most violent ways.
Right.
But they're talking even about making a Last of Us movie.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Because the guy from Chernobyl, or like the showrunner, is writing it, and I think the guy that directed Chernobyl is going to direct it.
Okay.
But it's like The Last of Us is already a movie in the game, and they already kind of did it with Logan. Like a lot of people were comparing Logan and Last of Us. I don't know. It's very weird.
Yeah.
I
don't know if it's necessary. That's the thing. Like, because my thing with like when you have a book and you turn a book into a film, even assuming that you can get every scene from the book into the film and it makes sense, it's still like the film has to be different in some way because then what's the point? You know what I mean? Like there needs to be a distinction and there needs to be, it doesn't have to be like you don't have to take anything out. There needs to be something added for the film so that it makes the, because you want it to be so that people who haven't read the book can enjoy the story, but you really are trying to make it so that people that have already read the book can also enjoy the story and still get the same general experiences emotionally that they had. And so like with a video game, what you said earlier about like video games almost add that level of experience, like a different level of it because you're interacting, you're playing. When you're literally taking that away when you're making that story a film.
Exactly.
And then the people watching are just viewers, and there's nothing wrong with that, but like if you've played the game, you're just sitting watching, you're basically just watching the cutscenes.
Yeah.
So you need to add something different, and you're right, like that's why most movies that are from games, they just don't work. Unless I'm wrong, I think the most successful video game franchise for films is it Resident Evil?
I don't know if they're the most popular. They made the most movies, I think. But I think, like, critically, the best video game movie, I think, was Detective Pikachu or Sonic. Like, those are considered video game movies.
True.
That people are like, oh, they actually made good movies. But,
I was
thinking, like, Assassin's Creed. Like,
yeah.
I think most of that movie is him. It's not even in, like, the time period that the assassins are. It's, like, him in, like, a room jumping around.
Right,
so it's
right.
like, what the fuck is this?
Right. Honestly, I like Assassin's Creed as a game because when you get to play him in the different eras, like, it's super fun. But I have to be honest with you, they could have completely gotten rid of the whole Animus crap and just gone, like, from the stories.
That's exactly my thought. Like, the Assassin's Creed games are cool because of all the different time periods. No one gives a shit about the present day stuff or, like, the whole, like, the whole...
And the funny thing is, you could have still had the same story. Like, it could have still been about the lineage of the assassins, just, like, you know...
Moving on,
going from way back when to, modern times. But I don't, like, I played that game for the era. I don't care about the science fiction. You know what I mean? It's so weird.
That's like, because I like the, I have all of them, but I want to play through all of them because I've only ever played up through Black Flag. I think.
Oh, okay.
What was that, 4?
Maybe.
I think something, like, they made so many. But that's all I've played up to. And then their new one's going to be a Viking game.
Yeah.
Which, like, the Viking stuff looks cool, but they're probably going to throw some bullshit present day.
Right.
It's like, that's the problem with that game. There's a new game that I'm playing right now called Ghost of Tsushima, I believe it's pronounced.
Oh, yeah. Is that out already?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it was hard to... So I was trying to get it. I got it, I think, opening weekend or like the Monday or Tuesday after it came out.
Okay.
It was sold out everywhere, like Target, Best Buy, Amazon. And it's a new game, so it's like $60.
Mm-hmm.
People were selling it on Amazon for $400. It's opening weekend because it was sold out everywhere.
Oh my god!
And I was like, no, wait. And then Target restocked like that Monday, and I was like, cool. I'll drop $60 and I'll go pick it up.
Hell yeah!
But that I was even thinking about cinematically, like I should have played it before The Last of Us because the graphics of Last of Us 2 are probably some of the best I've ever seen.
Okay.
Ghost of Tsushima is like. The landscapes and everything are beautiful, but, like, the people are still, like, they kind of look like Assassin's Creed characters.
Okay, okay.
But the cool thing about that game that I don't think I've ever experienced or seen in a video game is at the beginning of the game, it, like, gives you all the options of, like, calibrate your TV, audio. But then for dialogue, it's, like, do you want them to speak English with subtitles, or you can have them, like, the whole game in Japanese with English subtitles because it's in Japan. I've never seen a game do that for, like, characters outside of, like, people, like, or, like, even Assassin's Creed, like, they're in, France, and they're speaking English.
Right, just with, like, accents, right.
Yeah, but this game is, like, all, like, I have it set to the Japanese dialect, and then it's just English subtitles, and it fits the game so well. But then visually, you can either have it, like, color, or they have Kurosawa mode. Where they put a film grain on it, and it's black and white to look like how his samurai films in the 50s looked.
Oh, wow.
And it's pretty cool. I put it on for a little bit, but I want to see, like, all the colors, so I took it off. But it was pretty cool having, like, and, like, even the, I noticed the audio changed. Like, instead of sounding, like, crisp and clear, they have, like, that 1950s audio track.
Yeah,
to make it
yeah.
sound like it came from that era.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's a fun game so far.
That's cool. And that's like it's so cool because like that's you're with the black and white and the dialogue, you're setting it like a film.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's literally a film. You just are controlling the characters' movements and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Even the cutscenes, they cut the screen down from like full screen to the black bars on top and bottom.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's what Red Dead 2 did as well to make it like cinematic.
Mhm. Mhm.
They even have the camera's cinematic mode like
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy. I think about, like, I feel like games have been like that because of, like, I don't know if it's because of him or, like, Hideo Kojima, who did the Metal Gear games. Like, he was making those, like, films. And he even says he's a filmmaker, but, like, not making films.
Right, making games.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I think video games, I don't know. I feel like video games are, they definitely are when it comes to storytelling they're like films like they're not films but like they're on the same caliber. I feel like they're on the same artistic level, especially now, and they should be taken more seriously. I mean there should be major awards for those games, you know, and you don't have to, like, you can categorize them. I mean they you know, I'm not saying to put a game like The Last of Us in the same level as like a Call of Duty, but like there should be some sort of award, because I mean, like, I don't know. First of all, there's a huge community. Number one, there's a massive community that just loves games.
You could easily put video games and classify like a game. Like again, like there are different games like Call of Duty. Like no one plays that for the story. People play that for like just shooting, and it's like mindless fun.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have like Last of Us, which is probably the most brutal game I've ever played, and it's like realistic brutal.
Yeah,
like there's such little details in it. Like if you throw a glass bottle at someone, on their face will be little glass shards like stuck in their face.
Okay.
And it's like those little details they put in. But you could easily put a video game at like the Oscars for like best animated film. Like if they put Lion King there, like put Last of Us because it's actually good.
Yeah, and that's, well, see, dude, that's the thing. Like, another thing is, like, video games, I feel like there has to be, when they're creating games, when these people are sitting down and thinking of the stories, but then also thinking of the game mechanics, like, there's a psychology to it.
There is.
That you have to have. Like, okay, when do the players get to make decisions, and what kinds of decisions are they making, and how does it impact the story? Like, there's got to be a psychology to it, and so, just like with films, like there's a psychology to why a film, the cinematography looks a certain way, why the audio track is a certain way, why, you know, compositions look a certain way. And so with film or with video games, it's the same thing. And yeah, I mean, I think they do deserve some sort of like recognition in that sense. I think it'll get there. I really do, because games are rising in popularity like so much. They're not only, I mean, dude, you know what's crazy is like my brother, the school he went to Milwaukee School of Engineering. Mm-hmm. He's graduated by now, but his school now has a video game competing team. Like,
really?
They compete in video games, and you can actually get scholarships through that. And there's so many other schools that are starting to do that, like for those esports, I think they're called, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, they have like Madden tournaments, I think.
Yeah, yeah, but like it's like sports. I mean, it's like legit competitions. You could be part of teams now. I mean, it's been going on for a while, but the fact that it's going into schools and like scholarships are now available through this stuff, like. People used to make fun of kids for playing games hours on end. I'm not saying you should play for hours on end, but like...
No, you shouldn't, but...
Yeah, but like the fact that it's becoming what it's becoming is it's a crazy thing. And it's like, oh, well, then, yeah, there should be, you know, more recognition and stuff. And yeah.
Because like even the crazy thing is like we were just talking about like watching a film at home and getting distracted versus playing a game. I was playing The Last of Us Part 2. I would start it and then I would check my phone and like 3 hours would have flown by.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, if I watch, like, an hour and a half movie, I'm like, all right, what part are we at? Like, how much more time do we have?
Yeah, yeah. It's because you're interacting with it. You're
immersed in it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're completely. And then also, even if a game, like, story is not that good, but the game mechanics are kind of fun, mm-hmm. you could still lose track of time. If a movie's bad, you know it. Like, you're exactly. like, oh, this is not going well, so.
It's like, even, like, I was playing Spider-Man, and, like, I was kind of getting a little bored by it because I've already played it. I, like, replayed it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you can still lose track of time with that game just swinging around New York. And yeah. I was only replaying it because the new Miles game is coming out
yeah.
at the end of this
yeah.
year.
I want to do the same thing. Plus, I heard – oh, that was another thing. Another piece of information I heard is that Spider-Man is going to make an appearance in the Avengers game.
That's what I heard, too. I was confused if it's going to be – the Spider-Man from the Spider-Man game, or if it's like he's just going to show up.
That I don't know. Yeah. Which it would be so cool if it's from the actual game.
Because I know it's not the same company. It's not the same company making the Marvel game. And I know the Spider-Man team is like, we want to make a whole Marvel like video game universe. They were just starting with Spider-Man. Because
oh,
I know
Sony
like.
Was, you mean?
I think it's Insomniac is the team.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Well,
yeah, you're right.
It's going to be on Sony because PlayStation is owned by Sony.
Right, right, right.
But I think they want to do, like, I feel like I heard they want to do a Daredevil game because there's a lot of Daredevil references in the Spider-Man game.
Yeah, yeah.
They just want to, like, keep adding more Marvel characters.
They should. I mean, if you know, in the Spider-Man game, I mean, they have the Avengers Tower.
They got
it's
Avengers
like directly
Tower.
From the
they
movie.
Have the Wakanda Embassy. They have Doctor Strange as, like, that... I don't know what that building is, but with the window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one's there. Like, there's a bunch of references in it.
Yeah, yeah.
He even references, like, the other characters, like, when he's talking in the
Oh, right,
Spider-Man
right, right.
Game.
Right. I don't remember. So, like, I don't know. I think it's a DLC, right, where you get to talk and interact with Black Cat?
Yeah, that's the first DLC.
Okay.
I'm on the second one. I haven't played through all of them, but... The first one was pretty good. He also makes a reference to Captain America in that one.
Okay. Because
he's like, I have a friend who has a shield too, and his is better.
Okay, okay.
Something like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, even video games are starting to have their own universes,
mm-hmm.
like cinematic worlds hopefully
they
do
keep,
now.
Hopefully they keep going, because that Spider-Man game was probably like one of the best Spider-Man properties to come out recently. Mm-hmm. It was like that and Spider-Verse came out the same year.
That's right.
And
yeah.
both of those are better than the Tom Holland Spider-Mans.
I agree.
I was like, I want to watch Spider-Man Far From Home because I hadn't seen it since the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it on and I was bored like halfway through.
Yeah, yeah. I felt the same. It's whatever. Like that version of Spider-Man to me is... kind of a disappointment, but what are you going to do? I don't know.
I don't know what they're going to do. Because, like, they're going to bring in, like, Venom and Green Goblin. They haven't even, like, talked about Harry Osborn.
I know. See, that's the thing.
It's going against everything that, like...
Yeah.
Classic Spider-Man was.
See, I don't understand that. So, why would Sony say to Marvel and Disney, like, okay, you can have this character, but you can't have all these other characters... See, like, okay, this is what's so weird to me. I understand that they want to do their own thing. I get it. But the thing is like, do they not know who the fans are? Like, if you give Marvel everything for a price, not only for a one-time price, but, like, you get some of the money that, you know, that they make with any movie with Spider-Man in it, like, whatever their deal is, like, I would love if they made a Spider-Man movie part of the MCU, but, like, from the authentic comics. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need Ned. I want Harry. You
like
know what
Sam,
I mean?
Like,
I don't need
more like Sam Raimi's Spider-Man?
Sam Raimi. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Or even the new game, it like had classic Spider-Man characters, but it didn't feel like a classic Spider-Man story.
Yeah, they would have to change it anyway because we started, Spider-Man came into the MCU after already being bitten. That's fine. You don't have to show that whole origin. You don't even have to show Uncle Ben. Like, we know.
Does Uncle Ben even exist?
Right. Well, that's the other thing. The only reference was the stupid suitcase thing from the Far From Home movie.
Oh,
it was
really?
Like, yeah. Do you remember that part?
Not really.
So he opens
that's
the suitcase,
how much they
it's
don't
a close
care
up.
About Uncle Ben.
Yeah. So it said it was it, the so he opens the suitcase with his suit, and it's an old suitcase, and it says it's his uncle's initials. It was B something and then P, so like Ben Parker. Mm-hmm. But regardless, like, you don't have to do that because we've seen that 1,000 times, and that's fine. But you're right. Like, you can start it off like in the game where it's like references to the real characters and stuff.
He's like out of college in the game. He's been Spider-Man for like 10 years, I think, or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's right. That's right.
I think he's like in his mid or early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Because they say how Miles in that game is 15.
Right, right.
And it's because, like, even in the Tom Holland one, when they do like the Childish Gambino cameo,
mm-hmm.
he's like, I got a nephew. But then you're right. Like, well, how old's your nephew? If he's Miles, he's probably like 7.
Right.
Like, we're not going to get Miles for a while.
No, we're not. Yeah.
Unless Sam Raimi brings him in with Doctor Strange 2. Because it's about.
That would be so cool, man.
It's like the bring in Sam Raimi's like universe with the multiverse.
Dude, that would be like, that would be better than what happened in Endgame. Like, I would freak the fuck out if that's what happened, you know?
Like the poster, like the fan-made poster of Doctor Strange 2, but like Toby's arm is coming out of the portal.
Yeah, yeah.
I would
like, that would be fantastic. Oh my God. I mean, that would be amazing. I don't know.
I saw an interview where they asked him about what he thought about the new Spider-Mans, like Tom Holland and Andrew Garfield, and he like quickly skipped over both of those and went to the game. Like, how good the game is. He's like, yeah. They're like, what do you think about the new iterations of Spider-Man? And he's like, well, Garfield and Holland, like, they're good. And then he kept going about the game.
That's funny. That's awesome.
I wish.
Yeah, I love the. There was a post I saw that compared the first two Spider-Man, Sam Raimi Spider-Mans, with the first two Dark Knight movies, and how like they were like the first ones were like game changing.
Good setup.
Yeah, they were amazing. And then the sequels for the both of them were like even better. Like, they were so good.
Yeah. Well, that's what
happened.
And
then happened. The third one, I don't mean to interrupt you. And then they said the third ones were just trash for both movies.
I don't think The Dark Knight Rises is trash.
I don't think it's trash either, but I think it's the weakest of the three.
It's definitely the weakest. It's like, it's like that third act is like where it all falls apart for me.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man 3 is bad, but like I'd rather watch Spider-Man 3 versus like all the other Spider-Man
movies.
Far From Home, yeah.
Yeah.
But Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like the Raimi trilogy and then Spider-Verse. That's it. And the game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Yeah, I agree with that. But yeah, I wouldn't mind if Marvel had made... I don't mind that like their Spider-Man is still in high school. I just think that if they had the characters, like the authentic characters, it'd be so much better. And I think the fans would appreciate it more. That's why I wish like Sony... I get they want to do their own Sinister Six thing. I mean, I get that, but it just doesn't make sense. First of all, why is there a Venom movie with no Spider-Man? Makes no sense.
There's
I'm
a
sorry.
Venom 2 coming out.
Yeah, Venom 2 for some reason. And then they have like the Morbius movie coming out, but then you see Michael Keaton in the film. It's just like,
it's
what
weird.
Is happening? I'm so confused.
But then they're going to try to introduce Blade. They're not going to try to introduce it, but Marvel's. That's weird, though.
Right.
I was looking at Marvel's upcoming films, and like they have all of Phase 4 listed out.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, I think Phase 5 is like Captain Marvel 2 and Black Panther 2, but Blade is like nowhere to be seen, even though they announced Mahershala was going to be it.
Okay.
which I find so weird that you announce the actor playing the character, but your movie for him isn't scheduled for like 5 years, 4 years.
They're just, it's just hype. Mm-hmm. They just want to get people excited.
That's so weird, though. It's like,
yeah,
that's my issue with Marvel is like they announce all their films, so there's no like there's no stakes with these films.
Exactly. That's, yeah, exactly. That's why I can't stand that. I can't stand that at all.
It's the same thing with the like prequels, where it's like, if you know what happens in the prequel, like if you know what happens to these characters, why make a prequel?
Right.
It's like, well, if you're gonna make a sequel, we know what happens to all these characters.
Exactly.
It was like before Endgame came out, Spider-Man Far From Home was announced. So it's like, well, we know what happens to Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back.
Yeah, yeah. That drives me crazy. Even when they announce, like, just announcing Endgame after, like, they should have never announced. Dude, do you know how crazy it would have been if Endgame, or if Infinity War happened and we didn't know if a sequel was coming? Like, if Endgame was coming?
Because all it said at the end was, all that it said was, like, Thanos will return. Like,
yeah,
I remember seeing it, and like you and me, like we're both film, like we know everything that's happening, so we knew a sequel was coming. But I remember, I think someone in my audience, when it said Thanos will return, was like, "What the fuck?" Like,
yeah.
So they didn't know. Well, good on them, but
yeah, exactly. But like, they shouldn't have even had that. Like, they should have just ended the movie, and then people would have lost their minds, and that would have been fantastic. And then what was it? The very next year was Endgame came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, dude, so it's like, what, do that, dude, I just feel like the level of emotional range of the fans would have been insane, and I think mm-hmm. it would have been so fun and so crazy if they were just like, you know what they could have done? Never announce Endgame, but if you went and saw Infinity War, the end credit scene could be the trailer for Endgame. So then that way, at least there's some, because you still have to market the movie, which I totally understand. So that way there's some marketing, and it's an entire year in advance. And then that way it's like, okay, now what's going to happen next? Because if you think about it, like if you just end the movie and then it cuts to the credits, especially for Marvel films, the fans know, okay, there's usually something after, usually. So let's wait and see, even though this might be the end of all of Marvel that we know, mm-hmm. let's wait and see what happens. And then you just – because remember at the end of Captain America, the first one, they actually had a trailer. The end credits scene was a trailer for the first Avengers film.
Mm-hmm.
They could have done that, like, you know what I mean? And I feel like it would have been, like, really cool, but...
Did they even have an end credit scene in Infinity War? I don't remember.
They did not. No, they didn't.
They could have just done that. And then,
that's what I'm saying.
Literally, like, they would have still marketed Endgame, but, like, just do nothing promoting it. The actors can't say anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a few months, like, the Super Bowl. Like, a few months before the movie comes out, you drop Endgame at the Super Bowl.
Yep. Dude, I'm telling you, that would have been insane.
Why don't they hire us as marketers?
Exactly.
Because Ellen just read our career.
Oh, man. No, I know. Well, then, I mean, I get what... See, and I get it. Like, they know they're going to make their money regardless. So it's like, let's just get as many eyeballs to remember, like, many eyeballs as we can on this so people remember. But I think those movies are just so big. And, like, those... Like, Disney is already so big. They could literally say tomorrow from like, today's August 3rd. They could say August 4th, we're releasing Avengers 5. Nobody had a clue. The mm-hmm. theaters would be... pretend COVID wasn't a thing. The mm-hmm. theaters would be flocked
tomorrow. They'll still be flooded with COVID. No one's going to wear masks because no one cares.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, that's the thing is, like, you announce all these movies. There's no stake. There's hype, duh. But, like, you even announce all these movies... They have to meet a schedule. So, like with a Black Panther, like, what it is, the movie's fine for what it is, but you can definitely tell they were rushing to finish mm-hmm. it because a lot of it did not look good near the end. Like, they didn't run out of money. They have all the money. It's just the fact that they're trying to meet a deadline. And if it's not up to – if it's not even completed, if it's, like, passable, they'll just put it in theaters.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of the Marvel movies are. But, like, in a movie like Endgame, they'll put all their money, all their effort into that one.
Yeah.
But, like, the other ones, they'll be like, it's passable. Just put it out.
Right, right. Yeah, and they did that with Black Panther, and it got an Oscar nomination, so go figure. But
got a lot of Oscar nominations.
Yeah.
I was surprised my prediction was wrong. I said Captain Marvel was going to be a Best Picture nominee, and it wasn't.
Dude, that would have been something. That would have been something.
I don't know what I would have done if that would have gotten nominated.
I could just see you just like, I can't get into movies. I'm done.
That's
no,
like,
more filmmaking.
There's so many Marvel movies, though. Like, I see them in theaters, and then I'm like looking at them, like, maybe I want to rewatch them. And then I'm like, nah, Like Captain Marvel, no. Spider-Man, I did, and I was bored.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even think I've ever rewatched Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I watch it to go to bed sometimes. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of background. I need to go to sleep. Yeah.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
The only ones I really appreciate, aside from, like, the Avengers
the team movies, yeah.
I have to say, like, Winter Soldier is really good. I can watch that again. That's a very fun one.
The Guardians movies are good.
The Guardians are very good too, especially the first one. The second one's great, but the first one, there's something special.
I like the second one better.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit better.
Okay, I mean, I can respect that. I love the first one. I thought the first one was just like it was really really good.
Thor Ragnarok.
Civil War is just like Avengers 2.0, so like that's just a fun one to watch.
I think Thor Ragnarok's a pretty rewatchable one.
It's not bad. Yeah, I've watched it a couple times. It's entertaining.
But that's the thing. It's like out of 23 movies, we've only said like 5 or 6 that are like actually, not even counting the Avengers movies, we probably said like, and not counting Civil War because that's technically an Avengers movie.
Yeah,
we name like 4 that are rewatchable.
Right, right. Even the Iron Man films, like the first one's good, but and it's good. I'm not saying it's not, but like it.
That one does feel more like a film, though. Like, they went to locations. They actually, like, filmed not on a green screen.
Yeah. You're right about that. That's for sure. There's an authenticity to that one.
That's probably why I rewatched that one. But even then, there's still parts of it that are boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. They have such this, they have such a high, like, fan base and such, like, a marketable product that, I don't know. It's weird. It's all built on hype. And, like, once that's gone, like, you don't really go back to them.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, you only go back for, like, Endgame or Infinity War.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of the other movies, they just, they feel more like show fillers, you know?
Right. That's what I was talking with Brendan. He was saying how Marvel's, like, a TV series where it's, like, people stick around and watch, like, the season finale or, like, the season opener.
Mm-hmm.
But then you can skip movies and then you still will know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I don't know. It definitely feels like that with Marvel. So, I don't know. And we'll see what they do with their next phases. Like, they had announced all the people for, like, the Eternal. Not, was it the Eternals? Yeah, the Eternals,
it's the
right?
Eternal. I think they announced, like, everybody so far for Phase 4, I think. I don't know. Even out of those movies, the only one I'm excited for is, like, Doctor Strange 2 because of Sam Raimi.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm excited for that one, too.
And maybe Thor 4, but, like, I don't know what's going on with that one.
I don't know either. But what's his name is directing it for sure, right? Taika?
Taika's directing it. But yeah. It's weird, though, because they're, like, a lot of people were saying how Tessa Thompson was going to not become Thor, but now she's taking over Asgard. But then Natalie Portman's going to become Thor, and Chris Hemsworth's, like, mad about that for some reason. That's what I heard.
About Natalie Portman?
The fact that he's not going to be Thor anymore.
Oh.
That's, like, maybe something I heard that might not be true, but...
Well, he technically is still Thor. He's just not the mighty one, I guess, or the whatever.
He should just be in Guardians 3.
Yeah, he's just
which I don't know when that movie's. I don't know when that movie's coming out.
Like, that one would, yeah.
That one's not even announced because of them firing James Gunn and then him being like, "Okay, I'll go to DC."
Yeah, I'll just make my own movie then. I'm excited to see that.
I think he has Dave Bautista in it, right?
I think so.
I think Bautista's part of it.
I think so. He's got a lot of actors in that one.
I think Taika's in it too. I think Taika's going to act in it.
Oh, that's hilarious. He just brought everybody from Marvel that he likes to make that one.
Pretty much. And then, I don't know, it's weird. That movie I'm excited for. I want that one to come out. And yeah. Pattinson's Batman.
I saw some concept art for Pattinson as Batman, like with Catwoman and with Alfred. And like he was like in a suit and then he had the whole Batman thing on. He looks really good. Like he looks... I don't know. He looked like to me when I saw both the pictures. He looks like a really good Batman. I'm excited to see what his Bruce Wayne's going to be, though. Like, I'm anxious to see it. You know,
feel like he could do a good job.
I think he could. He's a good actor. Like I said, he wasn't my first choice. When they said his name, I was like, no, that's not right. Like someone typed that.
That's
in.
Like the thing though. It's like who could be Batman? Like out of the actors now. Like Pattinson's a good choice, but like I couldn't even think of another person that would like. I think people were saying Armie Hammer could have been.
I've heard that. That was a rumor for a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
I don't know.
We'll find out when movies get released because everything's now taken off the release schedule.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was on IMDb and I was looking at box office numbers and like number one at the box office was like Goonies at like 0.2 million. It was so fucking funny. I was just like, wait, what box office are we talking about here?
It's all those drive-ins because they're all doing like mm-hmm. 80s movies.
Yeah, I was at the drive-in on Saturday for the first time.
What'd you see? I saw that. I was wondering what you saw.
Yeah, they were playing Brendan Fraser, The Mummy, and The Mummy Returns. Great movies. I love those films. That was like The Rock's first feature was The Mummy Returns.
How did his CG look?
It looked terrible, but it was fantastic.
It looked terrible when it came out, but
yeah.
I need to rewatch those movies.
Those two movies are so fun for me. They're so much fun. I could watch them all the time.
Did you see the third one?
That one was bad.
The one with Jet Li.
Yeah, that one was bad. That one was an attempt at something, and it just did not stick. I don't know what they were going for.
That's like one of the first movies I could think of, beside like Indiana Jones 4, that like decided to do a sequel like too many years later,
mm-hmm.
and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's so many movies that do that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. What's another one that did that?
I know a lot of comedies do that, like Zoolander and Anchorman. Yeah. There was another one I think that just came out that I was like, why?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's tons of movies that do that. I'm having a brain fart on it right now, but
I'm sure like The Hangover will do one. Like, I don't know if Todd Phillips will be a part of it, but you know, right. Down the road, like someone's gonna be like, I have an idea for Hangover 4.
Yeah,
I have an idea for Tropic Thunder 2.
Yeah, but you know what though? You know what's worse? It's funny. It depends on the number. But like if a comedy or even an action film comes out or something and they want to do a sequel years later, it's not always bad. The ones that worry me is when it's the third movie. Like if they or if they do like sequels back to back to back and then years later they do like their third or their fourth or their fifth that like had no reason to come out. Mm-hmm. Like you can tell it was like because like when that happens, like for The Mummy, for example, they had two strong stories and they came out at a decent time within each other. So the writers and the people behind the film, like they thought about it. They really thought like, okay, how can we expand on the story? But then like years later, it's like, oh, we don't really know what to do. Let's look at The Mummy. Maybe we can add something to it. And it's just like the creativity's not there.
Again, like Indiana Jones. Like
big time.
Those had good sequels. Or like one good sequel. But they're all still fun. But then they're like in 2008, they're like, let's get Harrison Ford back. How old is he? Who cares?
Exactly. Throw in Shia LaBeouf because he was a big actor at the time with the Transformers films.
Go to George Lucas and be like, you got an idea? I'm thinking aliens.
Aliens?
Aliens and Russians.
Yeah. Sign it, seal it, deliver it. Let's go.
That's why, like, again, they're going to do Indiana Jones 5 again, like 13, 14. That movie's never coming out.
Yeah.
They keep pushing it back. Harrison Ford keeps getting older.
Yeah.
I did hear, I think the one thing that made me happy was they were like, George Lucas won't have any involvement. And I'm like, okay, cool. I heard that news like 5 years ago.
Was it Lucas's idea for the fourth one to do the aliens?
Well, Lucas wrote them. Like, he wrote the scripts, or I don't know if the scripts or if he came up with, like, the story ideas.
I know, like, they're his stories. I didn't know if, like, he wrote the ideas, especially for the latest one, though.
I'm pretty sure he wrote the script for it.
Okay, you might be right. I really don't know.
I'll double check real quick, but I'm pretty sure, like, he was the, he did the story.
Okay.
Because
if IMDb had said based on the characters created by George Lucas, that would have just meant that it was his like his world, but somebody else completely came up with the story, right?
So he came up with the story, but the guy that wrote the script is like a guy that's worked with Spielberg. Like he wrote the Jurassic Park, the first two movies.
Okay.
And War of the World, and he wrote the first Spider-Man movie.
Sam Raimi.
It's this guy named David Kep. So, like, it's a co-writer.
Okay.
So, like, someone they work with. But it looks like he's worked with, like, it looks like he wrote with Spielberg and, I think he wrote, I don't even think Sam Raimi wrote the first. Sam Raimi didn't write the Spider-Man movies.
Okay.
Or at least.
That makes sense. Well, I guess, actually, no, I mean, Sam Raimi is a writer. He does write stuff, so.
Yeah, but I think he's like, it's more like his directing style.
Right, right. So, but he wrote like Evil Dead. He wrote,
I believe so, yeah.
What was the sequel? Or is it Army of Darkness?
That's the third one.
That's the third one. Oh, yeah.
Evil Dead 2.
Okay. But yeah. Interesting stuff.
You said you had current events, though, didn't you?
There was one thing I found, one or two. Let me see. Hold on. What was it here?
I'm looking up Sam. Yeah, he wrote the Evil Dead. I'm looking at, like, all his writing credits.
Okay.
I forgot he did that. He wrote a movie called Darkman, which is, like, a superhero movie from the 90s.
Okay.
But it's, like, I believe it's his own story. Like, it's his own Superman, or, like, superhero that he made.
Oh, okay.
I think I have the first one. I want to see the sequels, but he didn't. Those are two direct-to-video sequels.
I gotcha.
Well, like, he's written stuff, but I don't believe he didn't write. He wrote Spider-Man 3, or like had some part in writing the script.
Gotcha. I gotcha. The few things I wanted to bring up, which we already did bring up, was like Ellen, because we were talking about Ellen and her show, and apparently there were talks about her show being canceled because of all this stuff happening. But I guess her producer said that the show's not going to be canceled. That, like, once things go back to normal, they're still going to have the show.
I don't know anybody that, like, watches her show, though.
Yeah, well, and not only that, I feel like after all this stuff, like, people don't really... I don't know. I guess we'll see how long that lasts, if it even does come back on, but it'll be interesting to see. The other thing I was going to quickly mention, and this isn't even part of, like, the article, but I don't know if you saw, so Russell Crowe, he's in a new movie called Unhinged. Have you heard about it?
Mm-mm.
I think it's like a film based in Ireland or something, but it's called Unhinged, and I saw a bit of the trailer, and it looks like he just plays a character who, for whatever reason, is pissed off and like just goes on a killing spree, and he's like a normal person. I think he's like going after certain people, but like he goes crazy with the way he kills them. But have you seen the way Russell Crowe looks lately?
Oh, I'm about to. Does he look does he look like Mickey Rourke? Like that
dude,
bad?
No, he looks. I love Russell Crowe. I don't mean to bash him at all, but like he looks so bad. It's so depressing. Like I was just watching Gladiator the other day, and I'm like, how is this man? What happened? Like,
oh, is this?
He's got a little bit of long hair, and he's like super chubby.
Okay, the photo I'm looking at is, I think it's a photo on the set of Unhinged, because it just says he looks unrecognizable, a psychotic stalker, and I just see his, like, big old gut.
Yeah. That's probably it. And it might have been for the film, but, like, dude, I'm like, what happened to you?
Oh, I'm seeing this photo right here, where, like, it's a profile of him, and he's just got a huge gut.
Is it the one with him in, like, a button-up shirt?
No, I have to send this photo to you. It's him in a polo shirt with, like, those Adidas track pants, but his hand is, like, down his pants, like, looking like it's scratching his butt, but, like, underneath the pants.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, his shirt is, like, kind of up, so, like, you see his belly, like, rolling over. It's like, also him with a... Just type in on Google, Russell Crowe 2020 for, like, images, and then go down a little bit. It's like the, I don't know what row it's in. Like maybe like the second or third row.
When what's he wearing?
It's a polo shirt and like those Adidas track pants.
Are they shorts? The track shorts?
I can't tell because it's like he's standing in like a restaurant and it's like a booth blocking it.
No, it's not that one.
It's like
him. One.
It's him standing with like a girl on a phone in like
Oh my God! Yeah. I see it. Damn, dude. Like, that's, like, you know, it just, it depresses me because I'm like, he was such a freaking...
And then there's photos of him in Gladiator, and he's like,
I know, that's
ripped.
What I'm saying. Like, it's like, dude, what happened? Like, I get it, but, all right, you know?
I feel like it might be for the role, but...
It could have been, but I don't know. I don't know.
What happened to you, Russell? Yeah, because here's a side-by-side of him in the button-up, and then with Gladiator, it's like... The two then and now.
Yeah.
I feel like it might have been for the role, but who knows?
Oh, yeah, I hope so. He was a good-looking dude, but...
I feel like I heard he does, like... He's not, like, method acting, but he, like, does get, like, into character. I don't know. He's like, an actor I'm, like, never blown away by. Like, I always, like, look at his movies, I'm like, oh, it's Russell Crowe. Like,
right.
I really can't see past, like, any other character. no. like that he does.
Yeah, I agree. You definitely know who he is, and he's not super like he's not super transformative. He's a good actor, and he does what he's supposed to do. Like, it's not like he's, I don't necessarily get taken out of a film, but like, yeah, he definitely is just one of those actors. It's like, I just, yeah, you know who he is. Like, oh, it's that Russell Crowe movie? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, you know?
I also haven't heard, like, people being like, you want to go see Russell Crowe? I don't know.
That's true.
I haven't heard from...
It's a weird actor. He's a weird actor. It's weird with him. I don't know.
He is.
But anyway, those are really I know it's going to sound strange and stupid, but those are really the only couple things, because I was looking at some of the news, and a lot of it's like a couple of actors, like older actors that passed away that I personally don't – I didn't know them or know of their work really. There was another thing I saw here where I guess China in the cinemas in China, they're going to schedule intermissions for films over 2 hours long.
I did see that. I saw that, yeah.
Don't that, really understand that.
I was like thinking about that. I'm like, what if your movie is like – 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I think, or at least my mindset was like, if it's over 2 hours, like they have the intermission like close, like it's going to be halfway through. But I'm like, that's so weird if your movie is like just over or just under 2 hours, like just finish it. Just power through.
I agree. Did you see this article? There's a movie called The 800, which is a controversial war film that finally... China is giving a release date, which originally they didn't want to release it, but it was unclear as to why.
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's like a war film. Let me see if I could open this real quick. It said it was delayed over a year, for mysterious political reasons. But the 800 has finally locked down a date for release, and it's apparently going to get released in China August 21st. In like IMAX cinemas.
Oh, I think, yeah, that's weird. But I think the other article, speaking of AMC, we want to talk about the Universal AMC feud.
Can you explain that?
So we talked about this a while ago, how AMC, because Universal was doing the at-home streaming for their new movies for $20 to rent.
Right.
They were saying how... AMC was saying how Universal movies are not going to be shown at their theaters anymore because they did this.
I remember that, yeah.
So I guess they now came to a deal where Universal can still stream their movies at home for rental for maybe like 2 weeks prior to it being released in theaters. So like it'll still be released in theaters at AMC's, but they're still letting them stream it at home like 2 weeks before the release date. So it's kind of like... when you buy Blu-rays, it's like you can get it on demand like 2 weeks in advance before the Blu-ray comes. They're kind of doing something like that, but they made up, like AMC and Universal made up, because I feel like AMC knew they would lose a lot of money.
Yeah, but that sucks at the same time, like to have movies available to just stream at home when but 2 weeks later.
I think they're doing it like you can have it up to 2 weeks, but once it's in theaters, it'll be like taken off the at home.
Okay.
And then it'll be available again like 3 months later or something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. It's weird. One, AMC's, when are they ever going to open back up?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out too. I have some stock in AMC, and like they keep going up a little bit or they go down a little bit. They've gained a little bit more recently, which is good, but I don't know, man. It's driving me crazy. I just want to go to a movie so bad.
Same. At least we're not being charged like our $23 for stubs.
Yeah. I would have canceled. I mean,
I would have.
And too. I was actually ready to cancel it. Like I was like, I'm just going to cancel this thing now. But they said that they froze everyone's account, which was good.
I know they were trying to open theaters up by like July 15th, but we saw how that went when they also said we're not requiring people to wear masks. Yeah. And then like 5 minutes later, they changed their mind. I don't know. That shit was weird, too, when I saw that. And I think a lot of people were tweeting at them, and I even tweeted. I was like, the AMC theaters were disgusting before COVID. Like, why would I want to not wear a mask now?
That's right. Yeah, I remember you said that. Yeah.
It's like, your theaters were gross before. Now it's even worse.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I hope it goes back to normal. I'm dying here.
Well, hopefully, obviously, I'll be there at the end of the month in Indiana, so... Uh-huh. We'll be able to hang out more.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, when you get down here and you're settled in and stuff, or in the area when you're settled in, we'll definitely try to plan something. Maybe we can, we could try to work on some stuff too and plan some collaboration stuff, whether it's film or podcast or both or whatever. You know, we could try
just going out and filming stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have like these super short scripts that I've made that I even started very slowly, and I haven't finished some like storyboard work with, just to kind of visualize it. And I would love to work on those. So I think I might have showed you some of them, maybe not, maybe I haven't. I can't really remember. But either way, I can definitely share it with you. And when you get here, I don't know, we can try to do something, even if it's a minute long, you know.
Honestly, yeah, I'd be down, because that's what Arsenio and I did. Like the film I helped him out with back in February. And crazy enough, he just announced a couple days ago that it's a finalist at the Universal Studios Film Festival.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is crazy. And that's hopefully, awesome. Hopefully it wins. But
yeah,
this little film we made in like 6 hours that has almost 300 views on his YouTube page. That's pretty crazy.
That's awesome. That's super dope. And you're in it, right?
Yeah, I'm the like the supporting actor in it.
Okay.
Out of the two people, but because it's not my story.
Right, right.
That's awesome. It's pretty good. I think I linked it on my podcast page for people to go check out.
Okay, I think you did. Yeah, I think I remember when you posted it. But that's super cool. That's awesome.
It was pretty
cool. Yeah, I'm dying to do something.
That one was fun to work with, because even though I was like the actor on set, I was still like helping Arsenio like come up with shots and like putting in input, like, oh, this will look good this way, or like try it this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was fun. But we can do stuff like that once I'm back out in Indiana. And there's like a bunch of places we could go to, like close by too. Like that's the best part about the Midwest, is everything's so close versus California.
Yeah, everything's so spread out there.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, we'll definitely have to figure something out. So that'll be fun when you guys come down here.
Yeah, I finished up today. I contacted the movers on Friday, and then today I contacted Glendale about getting a parking permit for the moving truck.
Okay.
So everything's coming together.
Good.
Just got to start packing everything up.
Yeah, that's the annoying part.
Packing and cleaning, and I got to, I think I still have to, I got to contact my landlord and let him know what's going on. And
Yeah, you probably should do that.
Well, I'm going to, but I got to contact him to do the final walkthroughs, because
okay.
the lease won't be up. So I'm going to be like, oh, this is what's happening. I'm not renewing, but like, here's what's happening. Can you do a final walkthrough and I'll leave you the keys? Because like, literally as soon as the movers are done putting everything in the truck, we're driving to Indiana.
Wow. How long is that drive?
It's probably going to be like 2 or 3 days, honestly.
Crazy.
It'll be a lot of driving, but I've done it before. It's fun. You can see some cool things. And because my girlfriend bought a camera, so we're going to be like taking photos along the way. And
yeah.
It can do video too, so.
Might as well make a trip of it, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But we have to get there by a certain point, because the moving truck will get there. So it's like you got to like.
Oh, right.
But they gave us a good window. They were like, it'll get here between this window. So we're like, That's good.
Very nice. It's good to hear, man.
But I will be back in the Midwest. Lighting up the marquee will no longer be out in Los Angeles.
For now.
We'll
see what happens.
See what happens.
Yeah. Very cool.
Well, do you want to plug your show? Because we didn't even talk about what's going on with your show.
Yeah, there's not much going on. to be honest with you, I haven't done a show in a while. And I'm still trying to figure out the future of the show. I'm just trying to figure it out. You know, I'm trying to see what I want to do. I'm probably going to make a decision within the next 2 weeks, maybe three if I'm pushing it. Because I still love podcasting and I still really want to do the show. My thing is just right now I have a lot of, I don't want to make excuses. I hate sounding like I'm making excuses, and I don't know. I have a lot going on right now where I feel like I can probably, what I should probably do is at least pause it for now and then get back to it when the time's right. Because every time I've done a show or an episode of my show, I've really tried hard to make sure that I'm not just like doing it for the sake of filling up the time and filling up an episode. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure like I'm actually talking about something that I want to talk about. And especially like when I was doing reviews, like actually going to the movie theater and explaining certain films and why I liked them or didn't like them. So right now, just not only with COVID, but just, you know, just trying to figure out what I need to do, I'm really thinking about either pausing it or something. So I really like podcasting. I don't want to stop it completely. And if I do pause it, I'm not going to, I do want to get back to it. I just need to figure out what I'm going to do. So I don't know. I hope that makes sense. I'm just trying to think because I don't want to do something that's not good either, or at least some, right. I don't want to do something that I don't feel good about. I mean, my viewers and listener count for the show has pretty much been very steady for a long time. Mm-hmm. Hasn't gone up, but it also hasn't gone down, which is a good thing. But I want to make sure that, like, you know, if people are going to keep listening, like I'm putting out something that's actually good or at least interesting enough for them to continue to listen. And again, I want to be happy with the content that I'm doing. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with it. Right now it's still up. You can still listen to every episode that I've done since the beginning. It's Here's My Take, and it's on every almost all podcast platforms. It's on all the big ones, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher. And then there's even the Instagram and the Facebook page too. So it's up there for now. And again, I mean, hopefully I can continue it, but at the same time, I don't want to do something that I'm not happy with. So we'll see what happens. And if I do step away from it, who knows? I can come back with something else in the future. So I do love podcasting though. Like I have all the gear for it. I'm talking to you on my podcast gear right now. And I'm gonna be honest with you, since it's been, since I haven't done it in a while, and now this is the first time in a while where I'm just using my podcast gear, like it actually feels pretty good just to use the mic and have the headphones on. So
honestly, yeah, I would say, honestly, if it's not even about film, you could keep going with your show.
Yeah.
That's the whole reason I kind of rebranded my show, like stepping away from reviews and like film topics. And it's more like getting people on and just like, we might not even necessarily talk about movies. It's just like literally anything. It's like kind of like a radio show. Like if you want to like change your format to that where it's like guest oriented, because like for me, I only do like one episode, maybe even two, get like an hour and a half, 2 hour episode out. Like I'm good for the month. Like if I like, cause that's what I was feeling too with like my show is like the reviews were like maybe like 20 to 30 minutes long, but I wasn't really like proud of them. They just kind of felt like I had to do it.
Right.
Where like ever since I've changed the format to bring guests on, like it's a little bit more time consuming, but I'd rather get like one big long episode out like once a month and work with someone's schedule to get them on. And then I feel good, like,
yeah,
that I got something out and it's something I'm pretty proud of. Like, and I like actually having more people on the show. Like I just bought a new microphone. So in studio, I can have two guests at a time.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited about once I can finally have people in studio. But I was even thinking if I have two people in studio, we could all probably get like everybody has a laptop and everyone gets on a Skype call or a Zoom call and we have like one or two more people. So it's like a whole, like a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. You totally do that. And you make a good point just doing it like a radio show. Like I've thought about like reformatting too. So, that's something that I'm going to kind of see what I want to do with it for sure. Cause I do like just like regular talk shows, you know, and it's like, I like that idea of having a show where you can just kind of sit and talk with or without a guest. So, we'll see. And I also agree with you, like with the reviews, like I had reviews where I wasn't too crazy about them either. And maybe it was just cause the movies weren't that good and I just didn't want to talk about them.
Right.
But even some good movies I had where I'd be like, yeah, the movie was good.
That's
go
it.
Watch it. Like,
yeah,
you
it's
know?
Like, that's exactly how I felt. It was like, I don't know how to talk about these movies because it's like, I feel like all my reviews start to sound the same at a point where it's like, I feel like it's just treading old water or like, are people still like interested in listening to the same review over and over again for just a different title?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I gotta see what I want to do. I've also really loved the idea of possibly doing a show with a co-host like consistently, especially if I could do something like in studio with someone. So that's another thing I'm kind of thinking about too. So there's a lot of options. It's just I got to think about what I want to do. Plus, I'm hoping by like the end of this month or sometime even next month, the latest, I can start to kind of see what my schedule is going to look like. I have a lot of things I'm working on. I might even be getting another job soon just mm-hmm. to have. So I'd like my schedule is going to change a little bit. So once that happens too, I'll definitely feel more confident in doing whatever, like if I'm going to do the podcast again, like I can figure out in confidence, like, okay, how can I plan for it and get stuff moving with it again, if that makes sense.
Right. No, I totally understand. Yeah. Like if you want to co-host, we can do a podcast, like form yeah. one, or like even merge the podcast. Mm-hmm. At some mm-hmm. point, we can do that because I'll be closer in the Midwest.
Right, right. Yeah, it's a possibility. So we'll see what happens. I gotta figure it out. So, but I'll definitely keep you posted. I'll let you know what happens.
For sure. Well, thank you again, Nick, for joining. This has been a lot of fun catching up and doing this show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Of course. You can catch us on our Facebook and Instagram page at Lighting Up the Marquee. We're everywhere you listen to podcasts: Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Stitcher. Yeah, I don't know when we'll do another episode. I might do another one in LA. I don't know what's going to happen, but for now, this might be the last show in LA. So, if we go quiet for a while, it's because I'm driving across the country.
Driving, yeah.
Do a podcast while I'm driving.
And why not?
I'm going to quickly wrap up because this has nothing to do with anything we talked about, but this story was so funny. So I was driving yesterday from, Home Depot because I was picking up packing stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting at this stoplight and I look over and there's a restaurant out here called El Pollo Loco, which is like a, it's kind of like a chicken version of Taco Bell. Like they pretty much all have, it's just chicken.
Yeah.
But I look over and I see like one car in their drive through, and I see somebody standing on the shotgun window, just like standing there. And I'm like, oh, it might be just like a homeless person like asking for money. Cause that's usually happened at drive throughs where like someone will come up to your window and ask for something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, but she doesn't like look homeless. So I'm just like, I'm watching this all play out. And then all of a sudden, this lady fucking dives into the car, into the passenger seat, and is like looking like she's fighting someone or like grabbing something.
Wait, the lady from the drive-thru? Like the restaurant window?
No, the shotgun, like the passenger seat. That's where the girl's standing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And she dives into the car, and it looks like she's trying to steal something or like fight somebody in it. And I'm just like watching this all play out. Meanwhile, while it's also happening, I see the drive-through window open, and the person's like still giving the driver food, and like their transaction's going about. But then something's happening in the shotgun seat.
Oh my god, that's so strange.
And then as the light turned green, I was like, "No, I got to see this play out." But then the lady like gets out of the car, like hits the car, and like walks away. And I'm just like, "What?"
Oh my happened? God, that's crazy.
That had nothing to do with anything we talked about. I just wanted to talk about that. That was funny. I'll leave everybody with that story. Until next time.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Tim Martin. This has been Lighting Up the Marquee.